Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. This video is about immigration into Ireland. I recall my childhood when Ireland was 99.9% white, and there was like in Cork, there was one Chinese restaurant. There was no Indian restaurant, restaurants of other cuisine. There was like a couple of Italian ones, and that was about it. When McDonald's opened in the early 80s, even that was a big deal. So we're not an ethnically diverse country. We had so much immigration. I can't remember who said it in the mid-19th century that, you know, we were breeding our people like cattle for export. 50% of young people left our shores, and I really mean 50%, going to the United States, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, occasionally prosperous countries of Western Europe like France, Germany, Switzerland, the Netherlands, and so forth. But now Republic of Ireland, one of the richest countries in the world, has been just tremendous success through good governance, education, the knowledge economy, low corporation tax. We've achieved the most remarkable economic growth, especially given that we're relatively bereft of natural resources, admittedly partly because we spend almost nothing on defense, 0.2% of GDP. The NATO average is 2%. Well, we're not in NATO. All the more reason we need to spend more. And in my very rough calculation, the saving over a century has been 500 billion euros. Now, 500 billion euros over 100 years may not seem much, but then again, the Republic of Ireland has got a small population. We've only just passed 5 million. But since we got rich, it needed more and more immigration. I remember just very few black people coming in the 1990s. And back in the 70s, there was a Moroccan guy in Limerick called Hassan. There were a few black people in Cork in the 1950s, I know. Often they were clerical students from various African countries, monks and nuns and so forth. There obviously was a tiny bit of Jewish immigration from the 19th century, even before, actually. What else? In the bit of Eastern European immigration in the 90s, very occasionally Polish people or Romanians or Albanians coming illegally, mostly. And that was it. But it didn't start to be significant till the noughties. Remember 1998 going around Dublin, and you would see a few black people each day, or people who are South Asian and so forth. And there was some Pakistani businessman who built a mosque in Dublin in the 80s, was it? And that was quite noticeable. There was an Indian South African who came to Ireland, got into politics, was a Labour Party TD. But immigration was a very minor thing, you know. So even I remember in 1998, Radio Television Éireann, that's the main television channel in the Irish Republic, saying new multiracial Ireland. Now I scoffed at that. Ireland was like 1% non-white. Now it's much higher than that. It's at least 5% now. Obviously a double would be higher than that again, maybe 20%, but in the countryside much lower. And you know, I stayed in a youth hostel in Dublin years ago. I was the only Irish person there. Even the staff were like Australian and German and stuff. And all right, some of the Aussies would be Irish extraction. And you know, we give citizenship to anyone who's got a grandparent born in Ireland, including Northern Ireland. So some Americans and so forth who return to Ireland, or Irish Americans, maybe only a quarter, but they get citizenship straight off. And I think that's good, actually. I think we should reach out. And the economy is going badly. I might have gone a generation further back. Say even a great grandparent, you want to come in, and they're usually bringing money and skills. But so we didn't have net immigration to 20 years ago. 2004, the European Union took in 10 more countries to the east: Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, Malta, Cyprus, Slovenia, and which one am I forgetting? The Czech Republic. That's 10. So significant immigration straight away from Poland, the Czech Republic. There was a considerable wealth gap between us in Hibernia and our partners in Eastern Europe. But they're now, oh, call it Central Europe, because I think East has got poor connotations. Anyway, working in all sorts of sectors, often in construction, in hospitality, laboring on farms. But some of them were highly educated, white collar workers, were IT engineers or accountants or doctors and stuff like that. And obviously we've got some immigration from India, partly because of our imperial history. We got fraternal links with India, Nigeria, elsewhere. But then people would like places like China. Some of the Hong Kongers want to get in 97, couldn't go to the United Kingdom, came to us, become Irish citizens. And the ethnic minority Irish, I accept they're Irish as I am. They're the absolute right to be in the Republic of Ireland, if they're Irish citizens or they're British citizens, they got the right to be in the island, no doubt about it. Okay, and European Union citizens, I know they got the legal right to be in Ireland too. They don't have to become Irish citizen. So there is this common bond of European citizenship. So, you know, we'll have people from Lithuania or Hungary or Bulgaria or wherever. I want immigration, but there's got to be reasonable levels. We have too much now, and it's causing concern. 2007, Bulgaria and Romania became EU member states, allowed in the Republic of Ireland straight away. But there started to be pushback because we're having just so much immigration. Now, some of this is sensible reasons for wanting to restrict it. Some of it is not, is distasteful and xenophobic. And obviously, racialism is deplorable. So the Celtic Tiger attracted so many people in. So last census, we had sort of 15% of people were not Irish. Some of them are white immigrants, some of them are non-white immigrants. Non-white and white is just as good. It's just a neutral observation. So the biggest immigrant nationalities are Polish people, British people, by which I mean like non-Irish people, not just from Northern Ireland. People from India, Romania, Brazil, Lithuania, Italy, Italians, Latvians, Spaniards, the French, Croats, Americans, Germans, Chinese, and now Ukrainian refugees over the last 3 years almost. Remember youth hostels in Dublin a couple of years ago? It was all Ukrainian refugees, and they've been distributed to small towns. But there is a bit of pushback. It's become a political hot potato. And so some people are worried about too many people coming in. And so some hardline nationalist parties are opposing that, especially if they're Arab people, if they're Muslim people, if they're young men. And some of it is frank Islamophobia. And sometimes there'll be there's a defunct hotel. They'll reopen it as a center to house these people. And that'll cause major pushback in the community. And really, I suppose it's just hysteria saying, oh, they'll commit sexual assaults or whatever, which is just bigotry. Now, sadly, some men of all ethnicities, of all religions, do this. And that individual is responsible, not people of his ethnicity or his religion. And there was a horrific case where three little girls were murdered last year. And because the suspects, immigrants, somehow all immigrants are guilty of this, which is despicable. So an Irish person commits a crime. No, I'm not guilty for that, and I shouldn't be punished. Someone from my religious background or whatever, or my color, commits a crime. No, that is not my fault. It's ridiculous. Well, you have to control the people in your community. I can't control the people in my community in that sense. This really is preposterous. But it's clear there's been excessive immigration. The National Party and the Irish Freedom Party, widely described as the far right, they are making the weather because of this. Now, Sinn Féin, with their loony left policy, want open borders, mass immigration, and obviously that is putting off some people. Now, admittedly, Fine Gael has stumbled at the polls. They were well ahead of the polls. So they said, opportunity knocks, this shan't return, call the election early, which he's entitled to do, having previously said he wouldn't do so. But then he's fumbled the hand dealt him, and Sinn Féin has actually made some ground. I still think Fine Gael's going to win, a plurality of the vote, obviously not even a majority of the seats in Dáil Éireann, and they never do. Have to go to coalition with Fianna Fáil again. So Sinn Féin won't do as badly as first thought, nor will Fine Gael do as well. But I don't think there'll be a huge upset. But immigration is obviously a problem for the governing duopoly, for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael as well, and some of their supporters, some of their more traditionalist supporters, breaking away. And this cosmopolitanism has gone too much of them. Immigration has been excessive, saying we need to control it. So there are, we say, well, it puts a strain on our health services, our housing costs are sky high, we're a very wealthy country, why don't we provide sufficient social housing? To think in 2008, we had these ghost estates, NAMA land, National Asset Management Agency or whatever, and how did that all go so badly wrong? And a lot of hotels have gone bust because it's just so expensive. We're victims of any success like that. So we need to restrict things. We've taken some Palestinian children who are very, very ill, and I'm enormously proud of that. My heart nearly burst with pride with the compassion we've shown for the Palestinian people. And Sinn Féin, though I despise them and they're very, very badly wrong on many issues, they're not wrong on this one. Okay, we got to have some common decency towards Palestinians. I wish we could take in more because they're just being slaughtered and they've got no way to escape. So Ireland has changed so much. I mean, my childhood, you know, something like over 90% of people would identify as Catholic is now only 69%. So, I mean, there's been a bit of a boost to Protestantism from African immigration. Protestants would have been like 3% of the population in my child. It's now 5%. It may not seem a big increase, 2 percentage points, but bear in mind, that's not far off doubling. And so Eastern Orthodox, 2%, that's mostly Romanians. There were basically none in the 80s. Hindus, almost 1%. Muslims, almost 2% and growing. So that's it. There was the old joke, a Kerry school teacher asks, what's a Hindu? And they say lay eggs, because they had no idea. So immigration, pros and cons. Does it turbocharge the economy? Does it drag down the economy? Does it, you know, undercut people's wages? Does it strain public services? Does it support public services? Because obviously many people work as doctors, as nurses, and other jobs in the public sector. So the pros and cons, we need some immigration, but not too much. Obviously, we have virtually no control from the European Union. There's not much complaint about that now. There was some bigotry against Romanians in the 90s. That's largely disappeared. Remember in 2004 seeing some anti-Polish graffiti, the first anti-immigration graffiti I'd ever seen in Ireland. The economy is doing quite well. So despite that, there's anti-immigration sentiment. When the economy stumbles, eventually it will, that will spike. So the major party is going to sort this out. People coming to Northern Ireland, of course, the United Kingdom, don't need a passport, whatever, to go from Great Britain to Northern Ireland by plane, by ferry. And then crossing the border into the Republic of Ireland, the guards have to patrol the border, which they is a porous border, didn't bother. But stopping the coaches, stopping the trains, who are you, show me your passport. And you didn't need a passport to go back and forth. Remember American friends going by ferry from Wales to Ireland years ago and arriving in Dublin and the guard saying, are you Irish? Are you Irish? You're American? Okay, just wave you through. Didn't even ask to see the passport. Remember coming by ferry from Holyhead. And in Dublin port, the guards getting on, are you Irish? Are you Irish? People just grunting. You could easily get away with it. Right. So that's it. Something's got to be done about it. But, you know, I'm sorry to say, this is one of these things where I'm kind of pathetically in the middle, that I'm not against immigration and I'm not against open borders. There has to be an Aristotelian golden mean. What is that via media? What's the exact number? What's the exact skill set we should do? And that's with the refugees. I do feel very sorry for the Ukrainian refugees because they need to know what's happening. I would give them like a 10-year visa, but maybe preclude citizenship because others never go back to rebuild Ukraine. I can't really blame them. I wouldn't want to go back if I were them anyway, even the war's over. Because, you know, can they plan their lives? Can they work here? Can they get jobs here? Can they pursue higher education? Is it worth it if they're leaving next year? Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe to me on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. And no bigotry against immigrants, legal or illegal. They come illegally. They're not bad people. They're still human beings. They shouldn't be mistreated or insulted or anything like that. They may have to be arrested and deported, but they're not to be insulted. They're not evil. I might have done it too if I were them. So treat people as individuals. That's what matters. There's no bad nationality. There's no good nationality. There's no bad religion or any good religion. You're not good or bad for belonging to these groups. Only your actions are going to define your goodness or your wickedry. Goodbye.